that God lives with the hungry. So if it's God you wanna know, then you know where to go.
I love that lady's voice. She's so good.
Lovely song. Ali Matthews, well, sort of here with us in the studio,
sort
but
of, yes.
Kind of not with us in the studio. Ali, how are you today?
Hi there. Hello. It's great to talk to you, David. I'm so sorry I'm not there in the flesh.
Yes. Tim and I have lit some candles. We've purged the studio because we were so disappointed. So just wanted to let you know that.
I'm so sorry. It's been a crazy few days of blizzards and car troubles. And anyway, we can have a chat on the phone and that's great.
And I even brought in Tootsie Pops for everybody. It's a little bit of Halloween candy.
Yeah, baby.
So I'm going to be passing those out
more
a little later
me,
on.
More from me.
You're missing out, Ali. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah.
I know I am. I know.
So is it actually snowing where you are right now, or was this just like a big excuse to stay in your pajamas?
No. I live in Stratford, and it is it's the snow belt. So that's,
yes.
It's actually it is better than it was supposed to be today, but yeah, it was. We just had tons and tons of snow in 2 days, and no plows or anything yet. So it's when winter decides to hit, you know, Canadians
sure.
have to rise to the occasion.
I was a bit surprised at how much snow. And of course, on Thursday night, I went to a fundraiser at the Distillery District, and it was the opening night of their Christmas season, which I've never seen before.
Which would have been amazing with all the snow.
It really was amazing.
Yeah.
It was kind of miserable on another level, but they had valet parking, which was wonderful, and so it made it a little bit easier for us. But believe it or not, the event was well attended. So yeah, the Canadians on Thursday night rose to the occasion. That
people,
is for
people
sure.
People do not know how to drive the first snow.
No
Unreal.
Kidding.
I was at an event at my school. We had one of our trustees retiring. Long story short, I was there until 6. It's a 25-minute drive door-to-door from my school.
Yeah.
2 hours.
Yeah, it's kind of craziness, isn't it? I mean, and it's so funny. I'm getting snow tires put on Monday morning.
Of course.
So missed it by, you know, 3.5 days or
missed
whatever.
Missed it by right? this much.
By this much, yeah. Didn't have the snow brush, so here I am using a small
card.
Glove. Yeah, that's right.
Scraping off the ice.
You know what? Credit card's a great idea.
It is.
Yeah, I think there's some money to be made there. Ali, could we get you to commission you to write a song about this?
Oh, okay. I'll get working on that.
So tell me about Shake a Paw Music. I love that. My dogs are the theme today. We need to conjure up a dog for Alex, one of the interns in the studio here. And my family has had a dog recently, a rescue. Sasha's her name. She's from Greece.
Oh,
and,
wow. Yeah, what kind of dog is Sasha?
Well, great question. We're not quite sure. So they've told us that lab setter. And you can see both of those things, but I actually think she has a little St. Bernard in her. She's got a very solid, structure and body and muscular, and she's just so ridiculously sweet. It's, yeah, and clearly been through the ringer. Lots of scars, lived on the street.
Poor
and
thing.
Yeah, pretty interesting. It's a whole kind of world about this rescue world that I didn't know about.
Yeah.
And so as soon as I saw your Shake a Paw Music, I thought we had to talk about that at least a little bit.
You know, yeah, it's interesting because quite a few years ago, probably, I guess it was 15 or 16 years ago now, when I was sort of setting up my business, when I was really starting to become a professional in the music business, I needed to come up with a name. And at the time, I had the best dog in the world. His name was Captain. And he was a mix, but he was mostly border collie, like a big, big border collie. And smartest dog in the world, kindest, sweetest, like he just... He was almost human. It was incredible. And he would always want to shake a paw. And that was just the way he showed his love. He always had... Sometimes he would actually get up, like both front paws up to shake your hand. And so I just thought, you know what? I want people to think of my music. I want them to receive it the same way that I feel about my dog's love.
Right, nice.
So I just thought, Shake a Paw Music. It sounds like it's kind of a... It's a reaching out thing, right? Like reaching out to with love, and that's sort of what I'm hoping to do. I don't know if anyone ever gets it or like understands that, but
Well, if you're a cat lover, maybe not. But if you're a dog person, you absolutely get the reference for sure.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
So I want to ask you a question. You referred to your dog as being smart, and I believe that's true. I have this sense that smart dogs don't always do what you ask them to do. A stubborn dog is actually a smart dog. Do you agree?
Sure. Oh yeah, they've calculated it all out, and they know what they can get away with, or they'll push your boundaries. And the interesting thing is, after Captain passed away, I missed him so much that I got another dog who was part kind of like Drew's huge big dog. This one was part Newfoundland and part Akbash, so two huge dogs. And we named her Panda, and she was not a smart dog. We discovered she was not as smart as Captain at all, but just kind of a big dopey dog.
Right.
And there really is a difference, because you can see in the eyes of a smart dog that they get things, they understand things, but not all of them are gifted.
It's interesting that
exactly.
I was supposed to be interviewing somebody for my my podcast, which I'm going to just push shamelessly here, facetofacelive.ca. And Ali, maybe we need to interview you down the road, but I've just published my 405th interview, something like that, this week.
Wow.
I focus on filmmakers and writers and so on, and musicians, and it's just all about moving the needle and social change and just narrative and telling a story and so on. And we just always have these great conversations.
Awesome.
Anyway, I was supposed to interview a guy who's written a book called Papa Goose, and he's an ornithologist, and he lived with seven
birds.
Geese.
Right.
Yeah, birds. Lived with seven geese from the time he raised them from eggs in the incubator. And the video online, Michael Quetting, I believe, is his name. And it's just bizarre. And so as I read his book, and I just, seven things geese don't do that humans do, and, this kind of stuff. And I just wondered about that whole, you said you can see it in their eyes, And I wondered about how much, do we actually, how can we really know, what they're thinking? But we sure seem to impose a lot on them. And part of it's the beauty of that relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've often wondered, if dogs could talk, we probably wouldn't love them quite as much.
Or we'd realize how much of an idiot we are.
Right.
Yeah. It's the thing that gets me about dogs is how they love you unconditionally.
Yeah, no kidding.
And how they give you that welcome. It's like the story of the prodigal son. They give you that welcome, whether you've been gone for days or whether you just went out to take out the garbage and came back in the house. They give you this huge welcome and this love that's so consistent. So I think they're amazing.
And also kind of an impetus for your latest album, So Shall We Love. And why don't we just, too, at this moment, you're doing an annual Christmas concert in Stratford. December 16th, 8 p.m. Is it just one show, or are you there for the weekend?
Actually, that is my, you got that. That was the old poster.
Oh, okay.
That was from last year.
Bummer.
This year, it's on the, I know, it's December 7th.
Oh, December 7th.
This is actually the 15th annual concert in Stratford. So it's become a real tradition here.
Wow.
And Drew's been out to it a few times. It's just in this incredible old church that has been made into a restaurant and a concert venue, and it's called Revival House. And it's absolutely the most elegant, beautiful atmosphere with the stained glass windows, and it's just stunning.
Sounds gorgeous. Yeah. Little candlelight going on.
And it's been beautiful food, and so anyway, that my website is just it's sort of under construction right now. That's why you got an old poster when you went there. But if people want to find out about it, they can just email me actually at ali@alimatthews.com, and I've got a list of concerts that I'm doing. Over Christmas, I have two Christmas CDs, which have been quite popular. So this really is my busy time of year. So I've got concerts in Guelph and Stratford and Mississauga and Scarborough.
You sound
and
busy.
Markham. It's starting. Next week it starts.
We've got a song cued here for you, I think, called Story. And we're gonna bring that live. And then I really want to. So you studied English and drama, and I want to ask you if everyone who lives in Stratford has to take drama. If that's a prerequisite for being, from Stratford. We'll talk about that when we come back. Here's Story, Ali Matthews.
I am not my fear. I am not my failure. You tell me that I am a child of grace, forgiven and You are not asleep. You have not forsaken me. Ever present help, oh God, I'll trust in you alone. I'm broken and I am weak, but in emptiness I'm complete. There is no sorrow deep enough to pull me from your love. And you see,
you're writing on my heart. You're clothing me with kindness, finishing the work of your own hands with mercy and light. Your promises endure. You make beauty out of ashes, filling up the canyon in my soul with songs in the night. I'm broken and I am weak, but in emptiness I'm complete. There is no sorrow deep enough to pour me from your
story. You're making me new.
Ali, are you still with us?
I'm still with you.
Well, you deserve a patience award then. So thanks for hanging on the line. So tell me about that. I mean, partially I was obviously teasing. You know, you focused on English, you focused on drama. Stratford, I love Stratford. Try to get there at least once every 2 years, and it's kind of a big event, right? For when you come to see a play and you bring a picnic or you go down by the water. That you guys have a don't you have like a duck or a goose festival or a duck festival, something like that?
Swans.
Yes, I've been there. I've been there for that.
You were going to go through the entire bird species,
that's right,
weren't you?
This ornithologist man has really had an impact on me. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's a swan parade because we have a lot of swans here, and Stratford's kind of known for the swans on the Avon River, and but we put them in. They have a house that they live in the winter.
Oh, okay.
And then when they're released in. Usually it's March, I think. There's a parade, so we have like a pipe band, and a whole parade. And the swans actually march from their winter home down to the river, and thousands of people line the streets to watch this happen.
Oh, I know. I was one of them 1 year. It's kind of crazy. Yeah. Have you ever seen it, Tim? Yeah.
I have not. But I like the Santa Claus parade.
There you go.
I don't know if there are any swans in the Santa Claus parade.
Just the upside down clowns, which always freak me out.
Maybe. Yes. Clowns freak everyone out, yes. I believe. Yes. Ali, so English and drama, how has that made you a better songwriter?
It's interesting you say that because I think when I went to university, it was the expectation in my family that, you go to university. So I didn't know what I wanted to do. Deep down, I knew I wanted to be a musician, but I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know how to, I was a singer-songwriter, and, this was before the days of American Idol and The Voice and, like, opportunity and the internet even. So I went and I just thought, well, I'll study the things I love. And I loved English. I loved, reading and writing, and I loved drama. So, and I was actually a film major before that for a while, and when I changed.
That's interesting.
So,
wow.
So, yeah, and when I remember thinking after I graduated, am I ever really going to use that? And over the years, I really started to dig in more to songwriting, and I didn't actually become a professional musician until, after I'd had my family, I had kids, and I was 30, and I thought, I've got to do this now, or I'm going to wake up and be 90 and ask myself, why did you never do this? Why did you never try? So I started really writing songs and recording and performing a lot more, and that's when I realized, like I was an English and drama major. Those prepared me to be a songwriter and to be a performer. And so, but at the time, I didn't really know where that was going to lead me. I didn't know what was down the road while I was studying in university, but. But, there are times now when I think, when someone says, oh, that song is so well written, you're a real lyricist. And then I think, I did actually get some education in this. So
right.
It did count.
Right.
It counted for something,
I have actually read some poetry, yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Have you recorded the first song that you ever wrote?
Oh, the first song I ever wrote was really terrible.
They all are.
But I did it for a grade 9 English. It was a project. We had read Catcher in the Rye. Do you remember that book?
I do. Great. J.D. Salinger. Yeah.
That's right.
Great book.
And the lead character was Holden Caulfield.
Holden Caulfield. Holy cow. Yeah,
right.
I remember that. Wow.
And I wrote a song that was from the perspective of his little sister, Phoebe.
Wow, it's already sounding to me like a great song.
Well, yeah, it was, I didn't really know what I was doing, but I got A+, and I thought that was the easiest A+ I ever got in my life. All I had to do was write a song. And so it made me start to realize that I could maybe have a future in this, and so... but it wasn't really a good song. It was pretty lousy.
We had Noah Zachron in here a couple weeks ago. Two weeks ago, and we fell in love with him, and he's a great songwriter and some wonderful songs and just a really interesting guy in history. And we talked a little bit about that, the songwriting process and so on. What's a great song? Like, so very perspectival, I would think. It's subjective. Oh, wow, I was here at this place. I held my first hand at the skating rink, therefore it's a great song. What's a great song to you?
I think it could be a great song to me, but if it doesn't resonate with anyone else, then it can't be a great song.
Mm.
So I think it's when a song can be personal, it can be both personal and universal. That's when it can rip my heart out when I'm writing it. And, you know, I'll be writing it in tears and it's just like gut wrenching. And at the same time, as soon as somebody else hears it, it has that impact on them. Then I know it's a good song. Because it's not only been cathartic for me, and it's not only allowed me to say something that is valuable to me, but other people can relate to it, and I think that's what makes a great song. Whether it's a cheesy love ballad, or whether it's a hymn, or whether it's a pounding rock song, you know, like music has so much power to impact people. And I've seen that over the years, and it's made me want, desire more to, and be compelled to write music that really does matter, that's not just fluffy, that actually will move people and encourage people and lift people up and just resonate, you know, connect. Make us connect as human beings.
And it's funny, you just never know. You may have that gut-wrenching song that just destroys you as you're writing it, and someone else will be like, meh. And then you'll write a song that you know, whatever, but then all of a sudden it seems to reach the masses. You just never know, right?
Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah, and there's a combination of, there is that emotion to it, but there's also, like, there's a song needs to have good structure. It needs to have good imagery, and it needs to have good... It just has to sound good, you know, audibly. Those words put together need to work. And so, you know, I've studied the craft of songwriting a lot over the years, so I have a great respect for it.
So, Ali, Tim and I believe that all roads lead back to you, too. And
or Peter Gabriel.
I'm pretty sure Bono was paraphrasing somebody, or it might have been him, when he said, you know, it's three chords and the truth. Do you sort of agree with that, or do you need a little more structure?
Oh, you know what? Some of the most beautiful and powerful songs are simple songs,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes I think they're harder to write.
Oh, I bet. Than, yeah,
you know, often like someone who is entering into songwriting and just starting out, you know, they do too much. They actually one song they've written is actually three or four songs, and it's like you need to take apart the song and just, you know, what is it you really want to say in this song? And we can save some of this other stuff for other songs. Like I think it's so true that simplicity is really important, and that's not easy. It's not as easy as people would think.
Now, speaking of resonating with other people, you've done a fair bit of work with other artists on this CD, it seems.
Yeah. It's funny because both those songs that you played, the first one, I Saw Jesus, I wrote that, the minute I landed, my plane landed back in Toronto after I went with World Vision Canada. I went to Ecuador, and I went with five other singer-songwriters, worship leaders, artists, all guys. I was the only girl, and we just had an amazing experience in Ecuador. We saw the value of child sponsorship, and we traveled around to communities and saw what World Vision was doing, and it was amazing. And And we really bonded too as friends and as artists, and we spent a lot of time singing on the bus and everything. So when I got home, I was driving back to Stratford from the Toronto airport, and that whole song just came to me as I was reflecting on the trip and all that we had learned. It came to me between Milton and Guelph on the 401, the whole song.
Nothing usually happens between those two towns. So.
There you go. And I actually had to pull over and sing it into my phone so I wouldn't forget it. But and then I got those guys, those other singers, to join me on the recording. And so that was I Saw Jesus. And really, it was the experience that we all had, just going to a developing country and seeing people who are living in poverty, who, you know, when we looked into their faces, we were looking into the face of God and realizing that you know, the power of that work and reaching out to
Ali. Clearly I should have done more research, and I just found out recently that you're a World Vision artist. You still are, is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
So how does that no pun intended, how does that play out for you? Is that about child sponsorship? Is it about you do special events for them? Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, I do a lot of I travel to churches and I sing and I talk about child sponsorship and the work of World Vision. And often I'll go and take a whole church service. So I'll sort of, in the summertime when pastors go on vacation, I often do pulpit supply. So I'll go in and
pulpit supply. Nice. Do you have a business card for that? I'd like to see it.
But it's great because I don't like to think of it as me giving a sermon because I don't think of myself as a pastor, but I go and I talk about where these songs come from and the impact that they've had on me, and then I share different songs and so I do a lot of that. I do a lot of work in churches and then I sing it. I do house concerts, and so a lot of times it isn't just the Christian world that I'm singing to. It's just your everyday people gathering for a house concert, and those people are really interested in hearing about World Vision as well. So everywhere I go, I bring a stack of my beautiful little sponsorship cards with these gorgeous little faces on them and kids who are in need of sponsorship, and I tell people about it everywhere I go. So
it's cool.
It's really brought something special to my music that.
Well, it's and you've clearly lived it, and then have written songs because of it, which I love. It all becomes a part of that story, a part of that narrative.
That's
which
right.
It's deeply relational, right? Which seems to me has to infuse your songwriting in a variety of ways. I think Tim's waving his arms wildly here at me.
I was going for segue stuff. You're speaking of house parties,
yes.
And speaking of working with others, Guiding Light.
Okay.
Now, who did you work with on this one?
This was a duet with Jacob Moon.
Yay, Jacob!
He's a great friend of mine. I think he's just one of the most talented people in this country, and I'm so happy when I get to work with him. Jacob and I do Valentine's shows together every year. So this year we're actually going to be at the beautiful place in Stratford on February 2nd. It's a little early, but all through the month of February, we're hoping to do some Valentine's shows. So he's an amazing singer-songwriter and guitar player. Holy cow.
Without a doubt. To be clear, and I want to get this on air, he turned me down for the three Saturdays, Jacob. If you're listening, he's a busy guy.
Yeah,
he was very
enjoy
busy.
The look of that bus from
underneath. That's right. He was actually free, Ali, but would have been great to get the two of you in here. And maybe in the future we'll have to do another callback. This is Guiding Light, Ali Matthews.
Well, the road is wide and waters run on either side, and my shadow in the fading light, stretching out towards the night. Cause the sun is low, and I yet have still so far to go.
are back. Allie Matthews, thanks again for your time today, for joining us, for hanging out with us a little bit and chatting a bit about you and the music you write. You still with us?
Yes, I am.
I'm always amazed that technology works, you know. I'm old enough.
Or that people stay with us.
That's right. Yes, I was waiting for the dial tone, actually, Allie. Yeah. Yeah, sounds a lot like, yeah, flatlining. So you've been doing this for a long time. Let's talk about your latest album and where people can access that. Let's tell them again a little bit about the show coming up as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, so Allie Matthews... .com. That's A-L-I mm-hmm. Matthews with two T's, right? .com.
And that's right. Yeah. Find out,
you can access the music there and tell us a little bit more about that and about the new album. So shall we?
Yeah. Love? Well, I actually have 9 albums that I've done over the past. I guess this is my. I'm just heading into year 20 of my career. I've been writing and recording those songs. Through those 20 years, and primarily I'm a singer-songwriter, and I just I write about anything and everything, and but this last project that I did is called So Shall We Love: Songs of Worship and Faith, and I think a lot of my faith has been infused in my music, although I haven't necessarily written songs for the church up until this last project. I really wanted to do songs that were worship songs. And so it's a bit of a departure for me because, just because of the audience that I'm writing for, these are songs that are worship songs. And so, it was a bit of a change, but, I really love it. I love, I love any crowd, any audience I get to share my songs with. I'm really pleased. I'm really grateful for that. And, so that was my last project, and now what I'm doing actually is putting together a collection from all the songs over the last 20 years.
Nice.
And so that I'll be doing that next year, and it'll have a few new songs on it as well. And so that's sort of how it's been going. I've just been so grateful I get to do what I love for a living. You know, it took me that decade in my 20s to realize that I had to be brave enough to put it out there and do it, but. Yeah.
Well, I love that, you know, we've gotten to know you a little better. We've heard some of your music. You've had some great insights about songwriting. You've talked about, you know, pursuing your passion and mm-hmm. and stepping into it and you know, this bigger thing called love. We've touched on the Global South and the work you've done in Ecuador. It's fantastic. I love the ground we've covered. And think of it, you didn't even have to drive into the show.
I know. I'm so grateful. I'm sorry, though, because I know how you guys love to have a live performance.
Oh, no. I was just, I had to tease you. I had to tease you again about that before we let you go. It's, you have more rubber on your snow tires as a result of this. This is, you know.
I'm going to need it. I'm going to need it for the next 3 weeks.
It sounds like it. Tell us again. So it's December the 7th, not.
December 7th.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. It sounds like a beautiful night.
Yeah, it really is really special. And actually, people can. Find out about that and get tickets online at ticketwindow.ca. And
ticketwindow.ca. Hey, before we let you go, and I think Tim's probably going to take us out with a song.
Yeah, we're going to go out with In the Stillness.
In the Stillness. What's your, and this is just a silly question, but what's your favorite song of all time?
Her own or just in general?
Oh, good question. Wow, that's an even bigger question.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, your favorite song, Allie, what is it? Is it Dylan? Is it the Beatles?
That is such a hard question. I have so many.
I know it's such a silly question.
A lot
right?
of times when I hear a song, often I'll say, that's my favorite song. And I think I say that more than anything about Bonnie Raitt's I Can't Make You Love Me.
Oh.
There is something about that song.
Isn't that interesting?
So powerful. Yeah. Yeah. And
that's cool.
Yeah. It's a beautiful song.
It's so funny that you say that about so many songs, because song will come on the radio and I'll go, okay, this is the greatest song of all time. And my kids will go,
favorite.
Dad, is this another one of those greatest songs of all time?
It's true. I mean, if you gave me categories, I could give you my favorite
part. Fair enough. And that's what I would probably say back to my own question as well. Yeah. How about a top 10 list in these five categories? That way I could cover 50 songs and we're all covered, you know, we're all
that's
good.
That's right. So next time, if we have an hour to do that, that would be a lot of fun.
It would be a lot of fun. Ali, thanks so much for joining us today. We've been live with Ali Matthews, alimatthews.com, A-L-I Matthews with two T's.com, December 7th. Going to be live in Stratford. You got to check it out. Go to our site. Look for more information there. And what a pleasure having you on the show today. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, David and Tim. Great to chat with you.
All right, here's Illness in the Stillness.